What is up from the SNY studios in New York City? Welcome to another edition of the Knicks Blog Podcast. I'm Anthony Donahue.
Special edition.
You should have said as we, special as we edition. Said on our last show a few weeks ago, if something goes down with the New York Knicks, Moke and I and SNY and the KnicksBlog.com and Jason Pateri, we will be on it right away. And here we are, Moke, with the Knicks. Not official, but it looks like it's official. The Knicks are going to hire Jeff Hornacek to be their 11th coach over the last 15 years and their 9th coach in the last 15 years. October of 2016 will be their 9th different coach on opening night in the last 15 years.
And how many different coaches is that for Carmelo? Like four?
Carmelo,
five?
D'Antoni, Woodson, Fisher, Rambis. Hornacek.
Okay, but Rambis an interim, though.
But he was still a coach for half a season.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's now his fifth coach.
Yeah, since 2011. Mm-hmm.
I see you trying to hold back the smile, though, because I know you weren't a fan of Kurt Rambis.
No, I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan of
Most
Kurt Rambis.
Most Knicks fans weren't,
yeah,
in all fairness.
It's so interesting how when Jeff Hornacek, when it was somewhat made official last week, broken by Howard Beck from Bleacher Report.
No, it's not official until the New York Knicks come
out and say, hey, we hired this guy. It's like half official.
Right.
It's not official until we all get the email and our phone, and then everybody tweets it at the same time.
Right.
But meanwhile, everybody got the email at the same time.
But for Carmelo to acknowledge it,
it's obviously as close to official as it can be. Jeff Hornacek is the coach. And, Moke, I'm going to ask you this right now. Before you heard, which we all heard, that Phil Jackson was interviewing Jeff Hornacek about 14 days ago, if I would have said, just for the sake of conversation, Moke, name me 15 possible head coaches of the New York Knicks a month ago today, would Jeff Hornacek have been there?
No.
I
got something even better for you than that, though.
What's that?
So I was in Chicago covering the draft.
How was that?
It was awesome. It's great. It's a great experience. I was having drinks with Jeff Hornacek.
How did that happen? Was he like, Moe, come over here?
No, he was not.
Did he
buy
your drink?
He did not buy the drink.
Okay.
Steve Kyler was buying a drink. Steve Kyler, you know, he got the black Amex,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So he was buying the drinks for everybody.
But BasketballInsiders.com.
BasketballInsiders.com. I'm 100% serious. I'm not joking. Jeff Hornacek was there. There were dignitaries from the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, one of the bars at one of the hotels down there in Chicago where all the players were staying, the Intercontinental.
So who was all in your circle?
Well, in my circle, it was me and Steve. Steve and I were there for BasketballInsiders.com, so I was rolling with him. Jessica Camerato, she was formerly with Basketball Insiders, now with CSN in Philly, and a bunch of other media people. But the point is this, Anthony. I swear I'm not kidding you.
Well, I believe you.
For
You're a believable
an hour,
guy.
facts only, right? Like Jigga said,
yes.
Facts only. For an hour, I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with Jeff Hornacek, chilling, talking about basketball.
What was his drink of choice?
Oh, man, you're asking me things I don't even remember now. I think Jeff was drinking beer. I think most people there were drinking beer. I was having red wine.
A good beer or like a Coors Light?
Man, you're getting off target
all right,
now.
All right,
I don't know
keep
what
going.
The,
all right,
it was
going.
In a glass, Ant. But the point is, we were just talking about basketball.
That's cool.
We were talking about shooting. He was a great shooter.
Tough player.
But the point is, what I'm trying to express to you here is, in my mind, it was not even a thing to ask Jeff Hornacek
right,
about.
Right, of course.
Because as far as I was concerned, Phil Jackson was only going with a guy that was from his quote-unquote tree.
Right.
And a guy who was a sympathizer to the triangle.
Whether it was Rambis or Brian Shaw or Luke Walton who eventually took the Lakers
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
So you were just enjoying a nice conversation and a nice cocktail with a really good NBA player.
And in hindsight, I'm like, man, I should have been quoting him. I should have been recording everything he was
yeah.
saying because I would have been the only New York media guy to have that
now,
access.
Yeah, who would have thought that? I'm not mad. I'm not like jumping for joy, but I'm also not mad about it. He did a pretty decent job with the Phoenix Suns. I'm not going to count as last year. We only coached like 30 games. He got fired. They lost a lot of players. But his first two full years with the Suns won 48 games, barely missed the playoffs, but in the Western Conference winning 48 games is pretty damn good. And the next year they won, I think, 38, 39 games and barely missed the playoffs in the West.
It's not pretty damn good. In the Western Conference, with that roster,
it's pretty good.
That was more like a miracle.
Okay, so we both agree that it's not a bad hire. Like it just came out of nowhere. Phil definitely shocked us. But the thing is, now Jeff Hornacek probably wants to play the way Jeff Hornacek wants to play. I'm sure he'll take input from Phil, as you should. We both agree. We've both gotten on Phil over the last few years, but he is one of the greatest coaches of all time. So I'm sure he'll take input from Phil Jackson. But Jeff Hornacek is going to want to run what he wants to run, which is pushing the pace, probably shooting a few more threes than Phil would like to. So it's a very interesting hire.
I'm going to have a moment with Knicks fans for a second if I can.
Okay, go for it.
Because when this thing first was announced, when it first came out, immediately I said Tom Thibodeau would have been an A-plus hire.
That's who you and I are both wanted for months.
But Jeff Hornacek is a solid A-.
It's a good – I'm not mad about it. Yeah, I'm not mad about it.
Let me ask you a question, Ant. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to ask you. I'm going to ask everybody listening. If I give you a kitchen knife and I send you out into a fight with some guys that have M16s, you're probably not going to win, right?
Probably not going to win.
How in the world can you look at Jeff Hornacek and what happened with the Phoenix Suns this past season and indict him? People are, though.
So you think
people?
So?
No, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what happened
in real life. I've seen a few tweets and people saying, you know,
I put out that A-minus tweet, I had people hitting me up on Twitter saying, oh my God, this guy was 14 and whatever this season. How could you say he's a good coach? Well, I say he's a good coach because I know a thing or two about the man and his offensive principles. And what I do also know about Jeff Hornacek and the reason why he was able to win Phil Jackson over and get this job is because Jeff Hornacek is an intellectual and a student of the game.
He is, and he was one of those guys that probably overachieved in his career, real solid career, very tough player. I'm pretty excited about it. Like I said, it came out of left field. I could easily go on and say, well, why didn't he talk to this guy? I'm done with that. People say that I hate Phil. I don't hate Phil. I've critiqued him over the years, and he hasn't done things that I've loved. But I'm moving forward, and it was a solid hire. It's an interesting hire, and I'm excited about what he's going to do. And if they want to run some triangle, I'm cool with that. At the end of the day, like I've always said with the triangle offense, it's not about the offense. It's about who you have running it.
Exactly.
If you have, like I said, if you brought Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen back, they'd win the championship now. It's just that you got to have the players to run any offense. So we'll see what happens to Jeff Hornacek. I'm pretty pumped about it. But now, the next order of business after we assume this will be official, we all get the emails from the Knicks public relations department. The next is, you know, forget the draft, the Knicks might get a pick, they might not. As of right now, the Knicks do not have a pick. It is about what Phil Jackson is going to do in July with free agency or via trade.
I think what's really funny about it, Ant, is that these two things they're so closely related, you know? So everyone talks about Phil in the triangle. You know, when Phil first came here, you know, he talked about system basketball. Seven principles to a sound offense is what Phil Jackson says. The triangle has those seven principles. What are those seven principles? They're penetration, spacing.
Did you get this from Phil's tweet?
No.
From his book?
No. Ball and player movement. The ball handler being able to pass to any of his four teammates. Offensive rebounding. Versatile positioning and utilizing individual.
I feel like we should have turned the lights down and
lit some candles and some incense
while you read those.
Whatever. Rewind the podcast. Listen back to the seven principles if you want to hear them again. What makes the triangle offense unique to most other offensive systems that are run is that ability to pass to your other four teammates at any given
Correct.
Time. That's what really makes the triangle unique. So whether or not Jeff Hornacek is actually running a triangle, his offense will have the six other principles that Phil Jackson believes in. That's why Jeff was able to win him over. But let me just say this. In terms of the free agency plans, if they're going to run the triangle exclusively or mostly, Rajon Rondo might not make that much sense as a free agent.
Even though he drops a lot of dimes, he does dominate the basketball.
But if you're going to run and gun the way that Jeff Hornacek was in Phoenix when he had Eric Bledsoe and Goran Dragic out there.
And young Zeke, too. And young Zeke for a minute.
And young Isaiah out there. Then Rondo now makes all the sense in the world.
I think Rondo would be a great fit. I think he would make Carmelo Anthony 25 years old. I think he would do wonders for Kristaps Porzingis. I think he would even be great with Robin Lopez in a little pick and roll action.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. One of the dark horse candidate I would mention, Ty Lawson.
He's been down for 2 years, but he's still young. You know, he had some issues off the court. You know, I think he's doing a little bit better now. So if you would have told me Ty Lawson 2-3 years ago, I'd say 100%. It depends on where he is in his life and if he's capable of being that Ty Lawson, the Ty Lawson we saw 2-4 years ago in Denver. I have no problem talking to him or maybe even bringing in Ty Lawson.
Now, because it's a zero-sum game, here's the thing, right? You're rolling into the summer. The cap is going to be somewhere between $92 and $95 million. Knicks going to have some money to spend, right? But Mike Conley is going to cost you $22 million.
Yeah, I'm scratching Mike Conley. I'm not paying him that. I'm not.
Rajon Rondo? Rondo probably going to cost you $14 million.
I was thinking between 12 and 15.
You know, something
think
like
that. Think
he'd
take a two-year deal?
I don't think he's going to do better than that.
Okay, all right.
I think at best Rondo is going to get a three-year deal with a team option for the third.
Yeah, I would do that.
Ty Lawson
comes a lot cheaper.
You could get Ty Lawson probably for $7 million,
yeah,
something like that. So if you're the Knicks, you might be put in a situation where you say, okay, do we want to buy Mike Conley for $22 million, or do we want to buy maybe Ty Lawson at seven and Pau Gasol?
See, I don't think you really need, you know, Pau Gasol more.
Or Al Horford.
Al Horford, I would be, and we'll get to this in a little bit, I'd be interested in Al Horford if we talked about what we did a few weeks ago, if you get Al Horford and maybe trade Robin Lopez.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, obviously that would have to be the next thing you consider, because now you got a log jam in the
right
front court if you add one of those guys.
And we have plenty of time to talk about that all, but right now joining us on the Knicks Blog Podcast, does a phenomenal job covering the New York Knicks, college basketball, and 80s and 70s rock and roll for SNY. Please welcome to the show Adam Zagoria. Adam, how are you, man?
Fellas, how are my two favorite Knicks podcasters doing today?
We are doing all right. The Knicks have just about hired a coach, and we're talking about it and having a good time. To everybody listening, in case you don't know, Adam Zagoria also hosts the Four Quarters podcast with Josh Newman. Last week, they spoke to Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim, and he had some interesting takes on his former player, who we also won a championship with in 2003, Carmelo Anthony.
He's at the peak of his career right now. It's his time to try to make that push. I thought he played great last year. Nobody noticed because they didn't win, but I thought his defense was better. His rebounding was good. His passing was good. You know, I mean, he just needs to get somebody. They need to get somebody in the backcourt that can make a difference.
Yeah, all right. So the Carmelo thing, yeah, that's cool. But Adam and I were in Chicago when me and you were out there eating deep dish pizza, hanging out. Did you think Hornacek would be the guy to eventually emerge as the head coach?
Did you have some deep dish and you didn't tell me about it, Mo? Because I missed that.
Oh, man, I thought you went to DG or whatever they call the place downtown. I thought you had that covered, man. I thought Chicago was your city already, Adam.
I did have a steak dinner with Jeff Goodman and John Carroll, but I did not have a deep dish.
Oh, well, you're doing better than me. I would have traded the deep dish for a steak.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have to, you know, confess when I was out there, Mo, because, you know, I'm not sure what you were thinking, but, you know, it looked, you know, Kurt Rambis was still the interim head coach, and I did not see Steve Mills or Phil Jackson in the gym. I saw Mark Warkentin and a bunch of their scouts and Rambis, who appeared to be the coach, and there was, at that time, you know, there was no indication that Jeff Hornacek was going to be the head coach, and, you know, it'd be interesting to really be a fly on the wall there and see how that decision was made. I mean, you know, it seems like Rambis was Phil's guy and maybe David Blatt was Steve Mills' guy. And, you know, it's unclear where Jim Dolan weighed in. But, you know, as the bottom line is that Hornacek doesn't have to run the triangle and isn't married to the triangle and plays a more up-tempo, fast pace, and they get some guards, you know, then we should be talking.
Yeah, what I thought was really interesting, Adam, was the fact that you and I both recognize this. We actually discussed this in Chicago. Phil Jackson was nowhere to be seen in Chicago, right? The Knicks front office, I walked into the gym a few times with them, and really the noticeable guy, Mark Warkentin, was there representing the Knicks, and Kurt Rambis was there representing the Knicks. So what I wonder is, it's like, well, if Rambis is going to retain his spot on the team, is he going to be the lead assistant? Is he going to be breathing down Jeff Hornacek's neck?
Yeah, and could that be weird for Hornacek?
Is that going to be weird?
Yeah, knowing that Kurt wanted the job.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I know Mark Berman, you know, he's been pumping out the links, and he had a story out of last night or today looking at what Hornacek's staff might be like, and, you know, I guess it's a couple former assistants with Phoenix. But, yeah, you definitely would think it would be awkward if Kurt is on the staff, because obviously he was passed over for the job, and then there'd automatically be questions. You know, like Mike Woodson was brought in to be, you know, D'Antoni's, you know, top assistant, and then Woodson took over as soon as D'Antoni was fired. So there'll be the perception that, you know, Rambis is the fallback guy if things don't work out. Plus, Rambis is more of a triangle guy, or at least we're led to believe that, whereas Hornacek like isn't so much. So, it does seem like they want to keep Kurt in some kind of capacity, but it definitely would be awkward if he's on the staff. I agree.
Adam, since Hornacek is not going to be married to the triangle offense, is there a chance that Phil Jackson and the Knicks may go after Rajon Rondo?
Well, I mean, certainly we've seen those stories. Again, I know Mark Berman wrote that. I mean, I think, just in talking to players and coaches and people around the league, nobody seems to be a real big fan of the triangle. It's for whatever reason, either it's outdated or, you needed to have Shaq and Kobe or Michael and Scottie running it for it to be effective. I mean, Charles Barkley gave me this great line a couple months ago that,
I remember
without those four guys, the triangle is a square or a circle or whatever he said. So, it's clear that the perception is the triangle is not attractive to players and certainly not to traditional point guards. So you would think that Rondo or other point guards would be more attractive to the Knicks. And it's obvious that they need an upgrade in the backcourt.
How far does this team get with an upgrade in the backcourt, Adam? That's kind of the thing that I wonder, because when you look at the Eastern Conference and you think about, there were four teams that finished this season with 48 wins, or, well, I guess there were six total, but there were four teams in the East that all were 48-34. The Charlotte Hornets were one of those teams. I feel like the Knicks might still be light years away from competing with those teams. I mean, are they going to get to 45 or 46 wins? Despite adding a decent point guard, how much further would they be away from 42, 44 wins and getting back into the playoffs next year?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mocha. I mean, my thing is, it's just been so much turnover. I mean, this is going to be now Carmelo's fifth coach, I believe, with the Knicks. They've had multiple incarnations of the team, multiple guards. They had the 54-win team that one year. They've changed teams, they've changed coaches. I think in any sport, you need a core of guys who play together over a period of, multiple seasons to gel and groove before they can get really good. And, you can add a piece or two or three or whatever, but the Knicks are basically, turning over most of their roster.
Every year.
Adam, 11 coaches in 15 years.
Yeah, and you look at what the Cavs are doing now, and obviously the Cavs have the best, the second best player in the NBA, but they've kept this core together now with JR and Love and those guys. The Warriors have had this core for a few years, the Spurs, the Thunder. These are the best teams in the NBA, and they've kept their cores together for a couple of years, and the Knicks just turnover after turnover around Carmelo.
Adam, hold on. I almost fell out my chair. Did you say the Cavs have the second best player in the league? Did that sound like what he said?
Well, he was not voted the MVP. The MVP was a unanimous player from another team, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm not hating on you. I'm just curious. In your opinion, at this point, you got Steph Curry number one and LeBron number two. In your opinion?
I mean, are we talking about the best player on the planet or the MVP of the NBA? How are we defining that?
The first one, the best player on the planet.
I mean, I guess that's LeBron James.
All right. That's my man. That's my man, Zagoria.
Adam, you mentioned keeping a core together, and obviously you can't change history. Do you think looking back, it would have, regardless of whether Phil got the job or not, it would have been smart to keep the core of Carmelo Anthony, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tyson Chandler, and built around them and tweaked and twerked? Tweaked around those four guys and, added to that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony, I would say in retrospect, that certainly looks, appealing, especially when you see, what JR and Shumpert are doing now. But they didn't get anything in return for those
exactly.
guys. They just got cap space. I mean, it would be one thing if you got rid of those guys and you got a bunch of draft picks. This draft is coming up. It's maybe only 8, 9, 10-man draft, but the Knicks aren't going to have a pick. Their pick is going to Toronto. So, they lost those players. They didn't get much in return, and Shumpert and JR are thriving now with LeBron and the Cavs. So, again, it's just a lot of turnover, and I know Knicks fans want a reason to be optimistic and hopeful for the future, but I don't think just adding a free agent point guard and you know, one or two pieces over the summer is going to suddenly make them a 48-win team.
Adam, it's obvious that Aaron Aflalo and Kurt Rambis were not the best of friends when after Kurt took over the team. Aaron Aflalo got demoted to the bench. If you ask me, I think Aaron Aflalo is a pretty good shooting guard. I think he's a starting caliber shooting guard. With Kurt Rambis not coming back to be the head coach, and it looks like it's going to be Jeff Hornacek, does that change whether Aaron Aflalo picks up his player option or not for next season?
Well, that's certainly a talking point, Anthony, that you know has been discussed. That you know, obviously he didn't get along with the, you know, the other coaches, and he didn't thrive in the triangle, and who did really? And you know, whether he is an elite, you know, NBA two guard, you know, I don't really think so. I think he could help them and contribute to an NBA team, but you know, they've needed major upgrades at, you know, virtually every position, except for Carmelo.
Would you say they're set 3-5, though? Melo, Porzingis, Robin Lopez?
I'm sorry, what was that, Anthony?
Would you say they're set from 3-5 with Carmelo Anthony, Robin
Lopez? I mean, certainly with Porzingis and Melo, yeah, and Robin Lopez is a serviceable center, I think. You know, yeah, so their front court has been pretty good, and you know, the problem's always been their guards. I mean, Jose Calderon is just not, you know, not an NBA point guard at this point. Certainly not a starting point guard. Jaren Grant is still young. You know, Langston Galloway is a nice piece, but he's not anywhere near the elite guards in the NBA.
Before we let you out, Adam, so what I want to know, so you say adding a point guard might not be the end-all, be-all. In terms of prospects, right, because obviously you spend a lot of stuff on that, one of the more knowledgeable guys in the country about a lot of the prospects coming out. Any borderline second-round guys or any sleepers in the draft that you think the Knicks might be wise to take a look at that might be able to help them out?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I reported, for example, they are working out Malik Newman tomorrow, and he also worked out for the Nets. You know, this is a kid, 6'2", 6'3", from Mississippi State, that before he went to college was projected as a top 5 pick in the draft. He was projected number 4 at one point by Jonathan Givony at Draft Express.
Wow.
Then he picks Mississippi State over Kentucky and Kansas, goes there, has a bunch of injuries, his stock drops. Now he's at number 52, I think, on Draft Express.
So wow.
I talked to his father the other day. He's a former Mississippi State player, and he said the kid will probably go back to school if he's not you know, at least guarantee the first round or early second round pick. But it is interesting that the Knicks and the Nets, for that matter, are working out, you know, guys because they're obviously anticipating getting some kind of pick. You know, and I think, look, Isaiah Thomas was the number 60 pick in the draft
True.
A few years back for the Celtics, and we all see what he's doing. So you can get a steal, you know, in the second round. So, you know, hopefully they can add a pick.
Tim Quarterman, too, Adam, of LSU. The Nets had him in for a workout a little while ago, too. Very similar to Newman, as you said, a guy who was projected highly but didn't really have a good collegiate career whose draft stock has sort of plummeted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tim Quarterman was ever projected as high as Malik Newman.
No.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Any chance we'll see John Stockton on the bench? He's never coached, by any chance, you think?
I don't know. Has that been discussed?
From me. It's not a bad question. Why not? It was his backcourt mate. He knows a thing or two about basketball. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it'll certainly be interesting to see who he hires as his staff, and also, you know, how he deals with the media. I mean, I know, again, Berman talked to Steve Albert, the play-by-play guy for the Suns, and said Jeff Hornacek's got a quick wit and, you know, dry sense of humor and can deal with the media. But, you know, the New York media is tough, as we know, and not all these guys can handle it.
That is very true. Adam, great job as always. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes today on the TKB podcast.
All right, fellas. Keep on killing it.
You bet. That was Adam Zagoria from SNY. Make sure to check out his show, also the Four Quarters podcast, which you can get on the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes and everywhere else that is available. Adam does a spectacular job.
Agreed. Now, time out for a second.
The John Stockton thing?
No. I'm going to let that live.
That wasn't a bad question.
Ah.
This is backcourt, mate.
I think if John Stockton wanted to coach, he would have been coaching.
That's
already,
true.
You know? But forget all
that. Got to start somewhere.
Forget all that.
If it happened, just see what heard it first.
Next time I see Tyson Chandler. Matter of fact, I'm going to see Shumpert and J.R. Smith during the NBA Finals. I'm going to tell.
That's if they beat the Raptors.
They're going to beat the Raptors. I'm going to tell all of them. that you said you wanted to twerk around the team.
Oh, I didn't mean, yeah, I don't know. The word twerk didn't mean to get in there.
I heard that.
Well, I said tweak, and I wanted to add another word, and twerk just came. I didn't mean that, but it just, you know, just that's what came out.
I heard it.
I thought you were going to bring up the blank check.
No, I was going to bring that up, but I figured I was going to let that live, man. But you want to talk about that?
I trust our producer and our people that work for SNY.
Anthony Donahue is one of four people in the state of New York that still writes personal checks. I kid you not.
No, when you have direct deposit, the person that sets it up with the bank needs to know your information, routing number, account number, and all that stuff is on a blank check.
Anthony, before we came on the air, you going to try to front now? 10 minutes ago, you just told me that you still write personal checks when you go to get your Chinese food up in your hometown on a
Friday
night.
I don't, but people do. Where I grew up, you could get Chinese food for $8.50 and write a personal check for it.
You're trying to change the story now.
A little bit.
That's not what he was saying before we came on the air. Karl Anthony Towns and Chris Kaps Porzingis. Unanimous selections on the all rookie
first
team.
Well deserved for both.
Obviously, we care more about Porzingis in this scenario. I gotta say, Karl Anthony Towns, the kid is absolutely phenomenal.
He is.
As great as Anthony Davis has been in the early goings of his career, Karl Anthony Towns is someone whose rookie season was better than Davis's. What's amazing about it is he has just completely overshadowed Kristaps Porzingis. Towns was the unanimous selection for the rookie of the year. It really sort of doesn't give credit to how great of a rookie season Porzingis himself
Porzingis
had.
Was spectacular. And one thing we talked about with Adam is when can the Knicks be good again, whether it's 42 wins, 50 wins, 60 wins. I think Carmelo Anthony next year is going to be Carmelo Anthony.
You do?
I think he's going to give you your 25-8, 27-9, you know, something like that. He will. He's mellow. It seems like
27-9?
I don't know. You know what I mean, though, Moke. He's going to have a really good year.
Melo about to turn 29, about to turn 32.
Melo will give you 25 plus a game, and he'll have those nights where he scores 35. We know that. It's a fact, unless he gets hurt. The question is, for the Knicks to take the next step, we know they need a point guard. The development of Kristaps Porzingis, does he have a fallback year? Does he have a year where he gets even better? That's the main key for the Knicks to be really good again, is how much better does Porzingis get next year? Does he stay the same? Does he regress? Or does he become great? You know, we don't know that yet. We won't know till November, December, January. But that's going to be the big key for when the Knicks become really good, is when Porzingis takes that next step. And he might not. We don't know yet.
No, I fully agree with you. And I think that's something that the everyday fan doesn't really consider or understand.
Well, they have him as, like, better than Dirk already.
Well, Dirk himself have him better than him.
Well, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. No, in all fairness, when Dirk came to the Garden this season, the one and only time, I vividly remember he was just like, hey, this kid is way better than I was when I was 20 years old.
Oh, Dirk was pretty bad his rookie year.
Yeah, no, he was.
He's an all-time great.
He was pretty awful. But yes, now he's an all-time great. Probably the greatest foreign-born NBA player in history.
Yeah.
And it might not even be close.
Yeah, I would say that.
Akeem Olajuwon, maybe.
Yeah.
But Akeem went to college here, so there's a bit of an asterisk.
We got Sabonis late.
Yeah, Sabonis is not.
But
even,
he was still pretty good. He's not your Venus. He's not my Venus. He's
Nowitzki,
our
Venus.
No, he's not even close.
Dirk Nowitzki and Tony Parker, off the top of my head, are the only two.
But
guys,
you know, if
that
our man Kenny
argue.
Anderson was here, you know who he'd say, though, right?
Drazen?
Drazen Petrovic. Oh, but that's his, you know, he played with them.
Rest in peace to the great Drazen Petrovic. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, what's really important to think about, Anthony Randolph. Remember that guy?
He was supposed to be a big piece in the deal, the Knicks, when they traded with David Lee and brought back Roney and Anthony Randolph.
It's amazing that he could never find a niche in the NBA. And you can't overstate the importance of that. When you have a young player that has a very versatile skill set, some coach and some player development person needs to grab him and say, hey, kid, look, I know you want to do this and do that and do that. And that's cool. But what you need to focus on is this.
Right.
At this level, this is how you excel. These are the moves that will make you a superstar. And you need to have that focus for a young guy. And that's very important for Porzingis. Also very important for him is having a point guard like a Rondo or like a Ty Lawson, someone that can make the game so much easier for him. So to echo on what you said earlier, Ant, I like the fit of Rondo. I think he would be fairly affordable for the Knicks. If they're going to run and gun under Jeff Hornacek, I think he becomes a very wise choice for Phil Jackson.
Well, we will see what happens. And if any more news goes down for the New York Knicks, we're getting out?
It sounds like we're about to get already?
Yeah, we're about to get out of here. The last 35 minutes or so, I felt like five seconds. That's because I love talking basketball with you. so much. Big thanks to Adam Zagoria from SNY, also the Four Quarters Podcast. Big thanks, as always, to our producer, Jason Materi. Mo, phenomenal job, as always.
Thanks, man.
I'm excited to see what takes place next with the Knicks. Can't wait to get that official email, like we all do at the same time. But somebody always tries to tweet it first, like they're the only one that got it. But everybody got the email.
Yeah.
You didn't get it first. But that's always a good time. So
and no twerking, man. I'm gonna have to call Jadakiss and let him know what's going on here. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Keep that over there.
Yes, no twerking. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG, Snapchat, AnthonyMSGG. Follow Moke on Twitter at Moke Hamilton. Also check out Moke's work with basketballinsiders.com. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
This has been the Knicks Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.